Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Wild eschatological interpretations and predictions of Christ's return have always been a problem since Christ's first coming. This is nothing new, but we seem to be living in a time when the consciousness of the end of the world not only grips the community of faith, but also the world at large. Political and economic chaos characterizes the news reports, and in the last 10 years, a powerful earthquake has struck each year, killing thousands. The most recent in Japan, leaving us in horror as we watch the footage. On people's minds is the question as to whether these things mark the end of the world. We are told the Mayan calendar itself predicts a 2012 apocalypse. And Hollywood, capitalizing on this fear, recently debuted 2012, a movie depicting the awful destruction to be unleashed at the end of the world. I live in the town of Linden, Washington. On many of the major roadways, even into Vancouver, BC, are signs and billboards warning that Judgment Day will happen on May 21, 2011. This prediction is made by Harold Camping, the co-founder of Family Radio Incorporated. My initial response was to laugh off the prediction in astonishment, not only because the Bible condemns such predictions, but because Camping's already done this in 1994 and got it wrong. Who would possibly believe him? But after receiving mailings in support of Camping's prediction that went out in every home in Linden, knowing that some people again have sold their businesses, knowing the fearful response of many Christians, a response is again warranted. In the first section, we considered the ominous church history of Harold Camping that led to his departure from the church. When the elders of the Alameda Christian Reformed Church censured Camping from his wild end-time predictions, he refused to submit to their discipline. This facilitated a split in the Alameda CRC, in which over 40% of the congregation followed Camping and departed from the church. As we considered, pride and bitterness had so overcome Camping that he was able to declare that upon the year of his censure and departure from the church, God was done with the entire church. And from that time forward, God would only work in the, quote, true believers who were willing to take the stand with Camping and come out of the church. Well, in this section of Abounding Grace, I want to evaluate the fruits of Camping's teaching and address why predictions of the end of the world are dangerous and how Christians are to live in preparation for Christ's return. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus warned about false teachers who come to us in sheep's clothing. The marker by which Christ said we can identify them is their fruit. We can learn a lot about how false teachers operate when considering the fruit of Harold Camping's life and teaching. The first thing is the rejection of Christ and the Christ's rule and his church. Harold Camping has called upon all Christians to abandon their churches, disregard the oversight of elders, and reject the means of grace God put in place in the church to grant faith. To be sure, the most disturbing aspect of Camping's teaching is his attack on the church. What is the church? It is the body of Christ. Camping would have us believe that the risen Christ has not only set himself against his own body, but has also rejected the very body for which he died. One wonders how Camping's view squares with Jesus's direct condemnation of such a separation when he said a kingdom divided against itself in this manner cannot stand. And how are believers to partake of the Lord's Supper and, quote, proclaim his death until he comes if the church age ended in 1988 and the sacraments discontinued? The church is expressly called the pillar and the ground of the truth, meaning that over and against the very errors Camping is promoting outside of the church is in fact the very place of safe haven the gospel is found and preserved. Elders are set apart by God for this purpose, namely to protect the purity and doctrine of the church so that the kinds of gross errors committed by camping do not occur. This requires humble submission and high esteem for those who labor to shepherd the church of God, since the elders will give an account for how the doctrinal purity of the church is maintained, Hebrews 13:17. To disregard this is to directly disobey the commandment of God. In light of the history above, it is apparent that camping is in the business of drawing away disciples after him. Historically, this has always been the mode of false teachers. See 1 John 2:19. Harold Camping rejected the discipline of the church in 1988, left the Church of Jesus Christ, and in establishing a platform to advance his own teachings contrary to the received doctrine, Camping now speaks in a manner analogous to the Pope's ex cathedra from the throne declarations, which are to be received as equally binding over people as Scripture. Consider how far Camping has defected from something like Proverbs 18:1, or what he shows and how he models Proverbs 18:1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Harold Camping claims that only the true believers will accept his prediction of when Christ will return, and anyone who does not join with him in leaving the church is not saved. In doing so, Camping has promoted a different gospel. In his book, No Man Knows the Day or the Hour, Camping writes, "The day of judgment coming to destroy those who deny that near the end of the world the true believers will know the hour of Christ's coming. Because destruction comes upon them, we can know for certain that these people are not saved. All of those in the world who on May 21, 2011 are still identified with any church." False prophets have often employed intimidation and fear to hold people with their ridiculous interpretations of obscure points of doctrine to the demise of the gospel of grace. In this connection, consider the one-for-one correspondence of Camping's heir to Diotrephes in 3 John, and I quote, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church." That's 3 John 1, 9-10. Camping's outlandish views defy every rule of received biblical interpretation. Based upon far-fetched allegorical interpretations, see 2 Peter 1:20, new definitions of sin and spiritual darkness are imposed upon us as Camping has defined them. The unpardonable sin is refusing to leave the church, according to Camping, all of which is not based upon any clear teaching of Scripture, but upon Camping's own personal revelation of a timeline of history only made available in the last 35 years. True believers are only those who leave the church and come to Camping himself. Christ warned about those who try to climb up the sheepfold another way. These are thieves and robbers who seek nothing more than to steal and destroy the sheep, John 10:10. Camping has ended up promoting a false gospel, leading sheep to a different door outside of the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. Harold Camping has also attacked the mission and the mandate of the church. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus provides a series of signs that assure us of his second coming. Jesus warned about those who would deceive with wild end-time predictions and expectations that would lead many astray. Some will blatantly claim they are Christ. Others will blatantly predict when Christ is coming. There will be political and economic chaos, wars, famines, and earthquakes in various places. Jesus explained all of these things as signs that he is coming soon. After describing these signs, Jesus assured believers that no one would be able to pinpoint any particular world event and declare that the end of the world would come. Matthew 24:36 states, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Why did Jesus condemn date setting? First, it delays repentance in the wicked. How many Roman Catholics sought confession and absolution from priests on the eve of the new year 999 AD? The Lord never approved of delayed repentance. Calls to repentance and faith were always now, since one soul could be required of them this night. Luke 12:20. Second, predictions advance fear in weak Christians, especially children. And fear takes our eyes off the sovereign, all-powerful, risen Christ, who is the Lord of history and author of our future. Jesus doesn't want his sheep to fear. Luke 12:32. Third, Jesus wants his people always to live in readiness for his coming at any moment. In fact, the sign he encourages the church to be active with is the preaching of the gospel in all the world as a witness. The worst possible witness to the world is demonstrated in what camping has done. Like 1994, in the months preceding May 21, 2011, Christians are again selling their homes, businesses, sending their money to family radio, and doing the kinds of things that are absurd to the unbelieving world. Can you imagine the scoffing and mocking camping's prediction will actually facilitate on May 22? When these predictions fail to happen, they do nothing but desensitize people to God's serious warning of sudden destruction that will come upon those who do not believe. We are called, dear listener, to always be ready now. Martin Luther was known for saying, "If I believed the world were to end tomorrow, I would still plant a tree today." Luther understood that the most effective way of being ready is to have Christians remaining steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Believers are called not to bury their talents nor hide their lights under a bowl, but to be about the work of the Lord as a witness to the grace of Christ until he returns. So what if Christ actually chose to return on May 21, 2011? Should it really affect what Christians are supposed to be doing today? What good is it to be caught up with strange end-time predictions or trying to pin the tail on the Antichrist or linking together a major disaster with the end of the world? All these things do is take us away from our mission and mandate as members of Christ's church. Christians are not to live in fear, dear listener. No matter what's happening in this world, Jesus Christ is our King, the Lord of history, and author of our future and salvation. Flee the teachings of Harold Camping and others like him. He has again exposed himself as a false teacher. Knowing that Christ could return today, the one thing we can do is pray earnestly for the repentance of Harold Camping and those caught in his delusion, that they might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Whether Christ returns today, May 21, 2011, or any day after, believers should always model what it means to have their waists girded and their lamps burning. Leaving us with the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 24. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.